Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, welcome to the Junktime AFL Podcast for Round 4, Gather Round 2024. We are coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who sympathises with Jordan Clark, who said he was abusing himself on the weekend. It's Adam Rosenbarks.
G'day, Michael. G'day, Junktime. It was a very controversial end in the Carlton-Frio game, and it came out Jordan Clark had a free kick paid against him for dissent, and he came out and said that he wasn't abusing the umpires, he was abusing himself. And I know what Jordan has gone through. Like, sometimes when fucking idiot, Chambo. Okay. What are you fucking doing, you cockhead? Sorry, I was just getting stuck in myself. You know what I'm like. But it's just one of those things when things go wrong and sorry, I just bumped the fucking microphone. What is wrong with you, you fucking moron? You haven't been on Skid House for fucking 20 years, you dickhead. Like, what the fuck are you doing? Fuck!
Okay, Adam, I hope you're feeling okay. Like, you're okay today?
Yeah, mate, this is personal stuff. This is all about me. Sorry, I've fucked up the start of the show. I apologise. Fucking hell! You fucking idiot. You do a fucking comedy festival show that no one gives a shit about the history of footy. You're a fucking idiot, Rosenbarks. It's how I attack myself, you know. It sounds like I might be attacking someone else, but that's all personal. So
yeah,
I hope no one takes that the wrong way.
Getting a bit personal with the insults. They're not really about you. You're not yelling at yourself. Like Jordan did say that he said someone that was along with like a fucking idiot, but he said he was referring to himself, not the actual umpire.
And what I loved is as he did that, and this is where the umpire completely misinterpreted it, as Jordan pointed at the umpire and said, "You fucking idiot," what he was doing was mirroring himself. Uh-huh. And projecting his image onto the umpire. Because if you haven't got a mirror in front of yourself, it's hard to abuse yourself, right?
That's a good point.
And so he has, in his mind's eye, he has seen himself on that umpire and gone, "You fucking lime-wearing fucking cockhead." And the umpire's gone, "Well, that's the set." He's like, "Bro, it was at me. I often wear the same colours as you do during the week, and that's what happened."
Yeah, gotcha. But then, I mean, there are a few different stories floating around. So then there was one story saying that the umpire didn't actually hear what he said, and therefore, but it was the tone in which he said it.
The tone, yeah. So he's just heard like, "Oh, you fucking no."
Yeah.
He's going, "Well, that's it."
He said those random noises sounded abusive, yes. Therefore I'm going to give a free kick.
Yeah, that's right. What kind of abuse do you, and this is going to get into our personal lives a little bit here, but when you're home alone and something goes wrong in the kitchen or you drop something or you just fuck up at home and someone lived next door to you could hear you, would they think that you were being completely abusive to someone in your house?
I reckon, you know, people talk about they hear their neighbours, you know. Actually, I was talking to a friend last night. He said he can hear their neighbours having sex.
Okay.
But he also goes like, "But I know also, I've heard it enough that it only goes for 2 or 3 minutes, so it's not going to be a long disruption to my day."
Yeah.
Actually, he lives above you. I have thought about if our neighbours have ever heard me and they go, "Sheesh, that person's been very abusive to that poor innocent victim." I'm like, that's me yelling at myself.
It's just me. I just live by myself and I did something so minor that deserve the punishment that I've thrust upon myself.
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun. You know, I think it's good that they can't always hear you. Like, if they could just hear your normal voice. You know, when you just walk in a room and you're like, "What the fuck did I come in here for?" You know, just, if they could just hear normal level talking, it's amazing how when you go out into the real world, you can switch that bit off.
I'm actually talking to myself more often now. Like, I'll be at the traffic
light
and have a thought and maybe something frustrating and the like, and I'll just go, oh, that fucking piece of shit. And I go, oh, I'm in the real world. I'm in the real world. I gotta stop this.
I've answered myself out loud. This is not what's supposed to be happening. But anyway, back to the Carlton game. What a tremendous victory that was for Carlton. And I think all football fans can agree it really brought together Gather Round, because everyone gathered round to say, hey, Carlton, you bunch of fucking cheats.
It was quite remarkable. I mean, initially, innocuously, I thought the touched mark was pretty, you know, tricky to get if you're the umpire on the ground.
Absolutely. But then when you see the replay, wasn't like it deviated 98 degrees. Like, it didn't almost bounce back into the field of play. If you're standing side on, it was so fast and so congested that you'd be like, oh, how was I supposed to see that as an umpire?
That is a really good word. They've spoken like a true Carlton supporter, I think.
Thank you. I've thought about this.
Because the ball deviated about 75 metres and its rotation changed about 358 degrees. Yeah. And then all of a sudden pops into the Carlton player's mark. And on top of that, that mark had been touched again by the Fremantle player before it went into the Carlton player's hands.
I mean, with all these rule changes, as a Carlton player, how are you supposed to keep up? Is the ball allowed to be touched? Is it allowed to deviate? I don't know what goes on anymore. I've got to stand while I'm on the mark. Am I allowed to touch the ball before I take the mark? It's very confusing, Michael.
And then on top of that, just straight away you get the double kick, which, if evidence is believed, it was a player who was yelling at himself. The umpire didn't hear what he said, but didn't like the intent in which he said something, and so gave a free kick for you guys to win the game. If the game was not rigged, if that game did, if Andrew Dillon didn't have money on that game, I'll go he.
You know what I love is that the umpires are like your parents. They're like, I don't like that tone, mister.
I know.
I didn't even hear what you said, but I don't. You take that tone out of your mouth.
So you were at Gather Round.
Yes, I was. I was at Gather Round. I wasn't there for that game. So I came home on Friday. Carlton played on the Saturday afternoon. I was actually driving down to an awful gig down in Geelong for a football club that I won't mention. But so I was listening to it in the car. And you know when you just can't quite get a sense of exactly when it's complete chaos. I was listening to the ABC and they're like, oh, you know, it was crazy. It looks like a mark. You know, Freo players are saying it was touched. And you're like, yeah, fuck Freo. We kick the goal, we get ahead. And then the absolute confusion when we get the double free kick in front of goals, which I actually think is possibly the worst. In no other sport, barely any other sport, would they go, you get another absolute free hit like that.
Someone was talking during the week that maybe it could be... The double kick is so kind of painful that maybe it goes back to the middle.
I think it should be in the middle. I think that's okay. But like, imagine in American football, you scored a touchdown and then someone bumped you over and they go, you got another touchdown. You're another like, touchdown. That is so unfair. You get a free kick in the middle, you've got possession, so then it's up to you.
Yeah.
I was driving down the Princess Highway when we won and I was fucking tooting my horn. So to anyone who was around me in the car at the time, I do apologise, because there were some people who were like, what the fuck is this meth head up to? Like, get out of the way.
That's awesome. Well, you would have felt right at home in Geelong then. Perfect.
Yeah. No, it was good. You know what I loved out the back of the game, though, is that Jordan Clark gave away that free kick and then controversial former AFL umpire Michael Pell has jumped on X and written that Jordan Clark has always been this kind of, what would you say? He called him a brat, spoilt brat. He said in a 14-by-14 game practice match during COVID that he had to tell him to pull his head in. And he said it was no wonder Geelong were happy to see the back of him.
He's come out pretty hard for him. Also, for someone who you figure like you come into football matters, you might keep your head down every now and then. But then also they threw away this little tidbit in the article. They go, so he's come out on Twitter. How long do you think before people in the media would just call it X, not formally Twitter? Like, every article is now like, come out on X, formerly known as Twitter. Like, when do we begin to go with X just in general?
Yeah, I think we're ready for that change as a nation, as a society.
Because you're going to be pretty unhappy with a name brand when, like, a year later, people are still calling it its old name. Like, you know, it's a bit of an ice snack 2.0 that Elon's pulled here if people aren't calling it by its real name.
That's on our other podcast, What's Wrong with Elon Musk. But It's an interesting thing that Michael Powell has sat on this. He's just, it's burn a hole. He lies awake at night just going, fucking Jordan Clark, man. I've told him to pull his head in once, and if that rears its head again, and it will, I'm going to be right there.
And obviously you talked about COVID 14 by 14 games. So let's say that's 2020. So he's been sitting on this for 4 years, and he's just going, I'm going to wait until my words come true before I will address the people of the nation on Twitter, formerly now known as X.
Do you think it was sitting in his drafts folder? And he's going, finally, here we go. Press and send, bang, cop that Jordan Clark.
But also, I like the idea of the article. It kind of hit this little Easter egg. It's talk about, you know, Michael Pell, who, you know, was arrested by police regarding Brownlow votes like last year or whatever. You know, I don't know where the status of that is, but that's what happened. And it's like, recently was headbutted by a player in a game. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah,
nice. Headbutted by a player in, like, the Essendon League or something.
Yes, he did. He did. So it's good that he's gone from umpiring and then everyone knows who he is, and he's got pretty much a target on his back because the allegations were that he told friends about votes in a game and there was a plunge on it. That was the allegation. We're allowed to say that.
You'd figure he'd steer clear umpiring for a while, wouldn't you? Just by the fact you kind of go like, well, if people do know me and it's, you know.
No, he was playing when he got headbutted. I'd probably just stay away from footy. Like, I think, I reckon other teams would be like, you know who's in that team?
Yeah.
It's a fucking umpire. And you know what? He didn't tell us about the fucking the votes. And we could have cleaned up. That could have paid for our footy trip. Let's fucking go and get him, boys. So
take us through Gather Round. So you were there last year for Front Bar, but you didn't get to hang around. So this time you got to hang around for a couple of nights.
Yeah, that's right. Last year I was doing a comedy festival show. My friend, are doing a comedy festival show. Two more weekends to go. Give us the details.
I do. Michael Chamberlain's completely incomplete history of Australian rules at the Coopers Inn Hotel. Tickets can be found at Try Booking Saturday and Sunday for the next 2 weeks. But back to Gather Round. So you were there last year. So you got a bit of a taste of it. So, Front Bar would have been on the Wednesday night. Then you had to come
Wednesday home. Night, yeah. And I had to leave on the Thursday, which was kind of like leaving a party just as everyone is starting to pour into it. Like I had dropped off a slab and gone, I'll see you guys later, and I never came back.
Yeah, sure.
But this year, I got to stick around for that slab. And so I was there all Thursday and went to the footy on the Thursday night. And I've got to say, Adelaide absolutely shone. Like, it's as good as it is when it's, you know, Fringe and Clipsal and all those times. It was fucking amazing. The weather was great. You know, as we've said, the footbridge has changed society, I think, in general.
Yep.
And it was just a fantastic atmosphere. It was amazing. And talk about Michael, footballers in real life, just left, right and centre. That's the one thing that as a football fan, that pretty much you can just wander around the city and you will bump into footballers, which, you know, you can't guarantee if you're just a local in your own city.
No. So where were you staying? Like, what kind of locale were you?
So we stay at the Oval, at Adelaide Oval in the hotel there. So so to walk to the game is get in a lift, go down two flights and then walk through. It was fucking amazing. So on the day, we went to, there's a place called Bespoke, which is like a restaurant that's attached to the hotel. And that's behind the goals in the grandstand end of the ground. You know how there's the scoreboard end, the other end.
Oh, wait a second. So that would have been near the Matani Chicken Salt sign.
Yes. Yeah, down that end.
Dude. That's amazing.
Yeah, so we had dinner there.
They're trying to build a hotel in Marvel, aren't they? So get a bit of the replica feel.
Well, I mean, it's just going to be a bit of a precinct down in Marvel. So Marvel, what they're aiming for, it would be like once they've got all this built and the running track that they're going to put in around it, it will be like Gather Round every weekend in Marvel. I don't know if Melbourne's ready for that. Like, it will just be, like, people say, where are you staying? You're like, mate, where else am I going to stay? I'm staying down fucking Marvel, right next to the Docklands. I mean, yeah. You can't get accommodation like that anywhere in Melbourne unless, you know, you wanted an Airbnb for $12 a night because there's hundreds of apartments free down in the Docklands.
Well, now I'm thinking that the bloke who bought the franchise of the Nando's down near Marvel Stadium, and people were going back in the day, they're going, mate, you're just buying it in a wasteland, Docklands, Marvel. Like, you get people maybe an afternoon on a Saturday or Sunday or something, but, you know, during the week, it's a nightmare. And he's playing the long game, and he's like, no. He's like Michael Pell playing the long game. He's like, no. I'm waiting. You don't understand what changes are coming to Docklands. So now, when all that happens, he's just going to be, Mr. Nando's. He'll be on the more than one franchise Very soon.
There'll be about, probably be, demand will seek that they, there'll probably be about like 8 or 9 Nando's at Marvel Stadium.
I imagine. Yeah. Yeah. I actually imagine it's going to be called Nando's Stadium within the next couple of years. Makes and the sense, AFL will be doing it for free because they want the Nando's rub.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So, I was at a Bespoke restaurant, which is behind the goals, watching the game. So, they're a little bit, it all started a little bit late. So, we were still getting food served deep into the first quarter. And you're like, this is a bit weird. We should be out there, you know, watching the footy. So, they just kind of, that's the only problem I have with the free feed that I did get in a beautiful restaurant. But then, Michael, we got told that we had a suite upstairs, a box upstairs. You know me, man of the people.
Dude.
So we go from the restaurant up into this suite. And as we're walking up, so we kind of go around and we're kind of walking through the sort of back of the grandstand. And we go up these stairs and the security woman was there. And she says to me, she's like, excuse me, got to take your beanie off.
Had to take your beanie off? That sounds weird.
Yeah. So we just get there and I'm like I was happy to take it off, but it was just like, really? And she's like, yeah, no beanies. And I was like, we're at the footy. Like, what the fuck? Now, and I was like, I've got a collar on. Like, even at the MCC where you have to wear a collar, you can wear a beanie, right?
I don't think there's ever been anyone told to take... I would imagine more you'd be told to take a beanie off if you're in a dining room, but not a box, surely.
Well, anyway, she was like, you got to take your beanie off. I'm like, yep, no worries. So we take the beanie off. I walk up the stairs. You know, you got to turn around to go up to the top of the stairs. At the moment... I do the turn the corner, beanie back on. No one says another thing. It was so fucking weird. It was just like, what are you doing? I reckon she was anti-beanie.
I think she's anti-gather-round. I think the fish rots at the head. And Andrew Dillon, it's time to resign if people aren't allowed to wear beanies. Like, if people aren't allowed to wear beanies, and let's remember, these are salt of the earth people who have been put up in a hotel.
Thank you.
At Adelaide Oval. Mm. They have gone down an elevator a couple of floors. They've had fine dining. And there's the common man strolls from the fine dining, heading towards a corporate box, is not allowed to keep his head warm and his ears warm with a Carlton beanie?
No, it was a front bar beanie. I was supporting the network that helps pay for the coverage.
Bit of advertising as well. Taking that to 50,000 exactly. people.
And also, you've got to think, I need this beanie, right? Because when I'm drinking my free beers up in... And they were chilly, mate. These beers were cold and I needed to keep my core temperature warm.
Yep.
And so I needed the beanie. I don't think she realised that. I just think it was a huge, huge mistake on her part. And I'm glad that I brought it up with the people who run the Adelaide Oval and I got her sacked. So... Uh-huh. I think she needed to know.
But another question. Question as well. Did you see other people in the corporate area with a beanie on?
As it came to be, and I kind of was looking around. No, surprisingly. Huh. So people must know.
Because that would have been the first thing I'd done. I would have looked around immediately. Would have been on beanie watch.
Yeah, mate. I just gravitated. So this is where the extensive list of footballers in real life that I have for this weekend. Begins. So in the corporate area that I was in, I was standing with Jonathan Brown. Friend of the show.
Yep.
And fellow friend of the show, Chris Judd. We're in the suite that we're in.
Now, what's Juddy up to nowadays? Because he doesn't seem to have any media work going on. Now, obviously Jagged going on, but has he got other jobs on the sly?
I think he's just working in the finance kind of field. And I think he has a podcast, a finance-based podcast.
I think you might be right, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, don't have to pray for Juddy. I think Juddy's doing okay. But yeah, that was who we were hanging out with in the box, and it was a fun time up there. And then afterwards, so Brownie, and you know what Brownie's like, he loves a party, loves a beer. And so we were kind of wondering what we were going to do because it was Adelaide, Melbourne, the game had finished, we'd had a few beers up there, and they were like, hey, we've got a party to go to. So then we wandered across the hallowed footbridge, fantastic to walk amongst people, the first time I've ever crossed it post-footy. And it was a lot of fun. And then we ended up at a party at the bottom of, I think it was East Terrace, in like a bit of a nightclub kind of thing there.
Wait a second. East Terrace. So East Terrace, that used to be Heaven Nightclub, didn't it, on East Terrace?
I think that might have been South Terrace, yeah, maybe. Gotcha.
So did you walk across the bridge with Brownie?
Yeah, Brownie and Juddy. But it was kind of weird because most people were walking in the same direction. You got your back to...
though they weren't recognised as much as they normally would be.
Not as much, yeah. It wasn't like people were walking towards us and recognising people. Like, they were definitely getting recognised. Sam Pang was with us as well.
Oh, dude, yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't as crazy as it would have been. But over the weekend, over the course of the 2 days, I saw Nathan Buckley, friend of the show. Nathan Buckley, friend of the show. Fucking hell, we've got a good list. Campbell Brown.
Friend of the show.
Tony Shaw, saw both of those two at Adelaide Airport. Then I saw podcasting superstars Daniel Gorringe and Dylan Buckley.
Yep.
I saw West Coast Premiership player Will Schofield. He was at the party. I saw Dane Swan, friend of the show, said g'day to him. Dude. Asked him how the boxing went. He said it was all fine. And Channel 7 commentator Alistair Nicholson. I also saw him when he was checking out of the Oval.
Huh. Dude, it's smorgasbord.
Yeah, it was. It really was.
Now, were there lots of kind of footy events going on? Like, did you kind of get a vibe? There was like lots of kind of corporate dinners and, you know, it was a bit of a cashy spectacular for some of the folk over there?
No, you know what? I didn't get a sense of that, probably because I was only there for that one day. But I imagine that there would have been a lot of events that they would have been able to have chats at and probably local footy clubs trying to cash in on it. Yeah. However, the only thing I'd say against that is there is a game on pretty much from midday every day, except like Friday there was the Brisbane North game, which was maybe 4 o'clock. So there's actually not a lot of time where there isn't footy. So there's a whole heap of time to get your fucking envelope full of cash.
No, that's actually a good point, I must say. Like, in terms of when you would schedule an event, you kind of go, well, the Thursday and the Friday are out because that's Port and Adelaide. And then you go, well, there's probably about 3 or so days, games each day for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Or so. So you actually are a bit cramped in terms of organising a function, unless you do a breakfast. But again, do you really want to get up for a breakfast on a Sunday? Even though it's gather round, you know, it's more a grand final-y kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is actually. And just the atmosphere beside, like along the River Torrens there and, you know, opposite the ground, that was heaving. That was just like packed and, you know, things for kids to do and families going through there and stuff. And yeah, the city was absolutely rammed and it was just such a good energy.
Did you do the zip line?
Absolutely fucking not. I'm terrified of heights and I could think of nothing worse. Same as climbing up on the roof. I don't reckon I could get anywhere near that.
The only thing about the zip line, though, is that you'd crash onto water. So there's only a small bit of land for you to go over.
Yeah, I'm still... Rosie's still not doing it.
So you'd go... It'd be completely safe. All you'd do would go into a river fully clothed with heavy shoes on. You'd be fine.
Yeah, fully clothed. And probably hit a dead body as you land.
Well, now they're talking about having multiple gather rounds. So who can know where this idea came from? But they're talking about having a gather round in Victorian Tasmania when this comes in. And then the Tasers team comes in. Then have one in New South Wales, taking advantage of Giant Stadium. And they also want to build up the training ground of the Swans. So that's just over the street from the SCG. So that's where Lakeside Oval, they call it.
So having witnessed, I know the AFL kind of debunked the fact that there might be 3 in 1 year. They were just like that. We don't know where that came from. But having seen Gather Round and its success in Adelaide, I guarantee you that the next one will be in Tassie.
Uh-huh.
I reckon either when just after the South Australian deal runs out or just as Tassie comes in, because you can have all the teams down there. And I don't reckon they'll have it in Sydney because, Richmond and St Kilda played at Norwood Oval and they had, you know, 8,000 people there or whatever. If they did that in Sydney, I don't reckon they'd get that kind of crowd because it's just not an AFL-loving town.
No, I think you're right. I think they'd fill out the Swans game. My theory with Sydney is that, like, there are just over like 50,000 supporters and it doesn't go any further than that. It's like all of them go to the game, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Yeah.
But speaking of Adelaide, actually, there's a little deal going on here with Port Adelaide.
Oh, yeah.
So a little bit of speculation. There's been a handshake agreement, a coaching succession plan, if you will, between Ken Hinckley and Josh Carr. And the thing I like about a coaching succession plan, if history has taught us anything, it's that they always come off perfectly smooth and there's no blunders whatsoever. No one ditches out early. You know, people fulfill every objective. There's no payouts that need to be done. It's all complete. And they go on to be great mates for the rest of their life.
Both
so I can't see any problems here for Josh Carr and for Ken Hinckley.
Both parties are happy when they agree to it. That's always the fun bit about a handshake. Succession
just the press
plan.
Conference where they sit next to each other and they're just joking and laughing and joking and laughing.
Yeah. How did it work so smoothly? Was it because Paul Ruse just went, did he suggest it? Like, because you know what Ruse is like, he's just like, fucking hell, I can get a consulting deal while I'm in Hawaii. So he suggested it to Horse and Horse is like, oh, are you sure about that? And Ruse is like, absolutely, mate. Because he's done it twice now.
He has, yeah. I think he has chosen his own path. I feel actually he's the one person who has been able to do it properly. But also, it hasn't been forced on him by the club. So they say they have a handshake deal here. So the idea being that maybe Josh Carr might take over in 2025. So okay. Ken Hinckley by then, he would have been at the club since 2013. I just looked that up before. And so Caro went with this one on Footy Classified. And she said, the board has been told Josh is not ready yet.
Okay.
And he was not ready last year.
Well, okay.
And he's not ready, now.
Okay, still not ready. Okay, he's a fucking slow learner.
They're trying to get him ready by the end of 2025. It's an extraordinary situation. But if it works, it'll be applauded, particularly if Port get a flag between now and then. So if Port win a flag this year or next, and then Josh Carr comes into the spot, in Caro's mind, that just makes the transition even smoother.
Yeah, absolutely. As Mick Malthouse showed, there is nothing like winning a flag and handing it over to the person you least want to hand it over to.
Yep. I mean, Mick even used the platform of his speech on Grand Final Day when they won the premiership before he had another year to go to actually pinpoint, to target Eddie Maguire, the man who made the call, to reference the fact that he only had 1 year left while experiencing one of the greatest moments of his footballing career.
Yeah. And that, you know what, that takes kind of, that takes great skill from Mick Malthouse. Not many people could be so happy and so grumpy at the same time.
So, well, it's kind of interesting, though. They're kind of, they've thrown all their eggs into one basket with Josh. I don't know how many years he's been at Port Adelaide, but they're clearly saying he's not ready yet. He wasn't ready last year, and he's got to learn very quickly. Like, they're trying to train him up. It's kind of like, well, why don't you get someone who can do the job, like, immediately?
Yeah, and are they just going to go to Ken Hinckley? Mate, we're going to sign you for another one-year deal. Josh is still not quite ready. It's like, how much do you fucking love Josh Carr? Because if he's so good, then shouldn't he be ready?
Hey, footballers in real life, Adam?
Hit me. Can't top mine, but give it a crack.
From Dan. Hey, folks, football in real life for you. I was out for breakfast last weekend. I kind of casually pay for somebody to cook me food because I'm doing very well for myself. I saw Charlie Dixon at a cafe in Myler in the Adelaide Hills on the morning of their game against Melbourne. He was with a ridiculously attractive partner. Together they make the most other human beings feel completely inadequate, but good luck to them. I did look up Charlie and his partner on his Instagram, and yes, they are something out of a... out of like a Barbie film or something. You kind of go, these people aren't human.
Is it almost like the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift of Adelaide?
Yeah. And also from Nick, a football in real life. Recently, on a trip to a Bunnings store in Myari, Perth, my dad saw Freo Ruckman and Hoda lookalike Sean Darcy. Sadly, no info on what he was buying or doing at Bunnings, but my old man confirmed Darcy was huge.
And what's a Hodor look like? What's that? Is that some
Let's
sort
get that
of
up. Let's type in Hodor.
Is that
into,
like a is that a Lord of the Rings right type thing, Hodor, or is that one of those Harry Potter things that you'd
Hodor
be into?
Hodor is a character from Game of Thrones, so you'll be familiar with that.
Oh, okay. There you go, Game of Thrones. No, that's okay. Game of Thrones. It's an adult show, unlike everything you watch.
Oh, geez, I've held back so much. People talking about WrestleMania today. Two nights, mate, Adam. Cody, finish the story. Come on, mate. It was amazing. And it was the Undertaker.
Go Blues!
We're going to hit the road. We are JunkTimeOverPod at Gmail, Twitter, Facebook, and the Gram. Go Hawks.
Free kick, Carlton.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.